What exactly does it mean to be great, and how does one become great in the eyes of God? These are the real questions Mark chapter 10 verses 35 to 45 asks and answers. The reading begins with two of Jesus' disciples grasping for greatness, yet seem to not fully understand what greatness in the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus here offers them a path to greatness that is very different from what they had in mind, one which is marked repeatedly not by earthly greatness, but by humility. To become great in the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, one has to be willing to do three things. The first thing is to evaluate their motives. Verses 35 says, James and John came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." They basically came with a request that required Jesus to say yes even before they had told him what they wanted. In verses 36, Jesus asks them to put their request in words so that it may reveal their self-centered selfishness. So verse 37, it says, they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." To sit at the right hand was the highest position of power and prestige, and to sit on the left was just below that. The two disciples wanted to be closer to Jesus and wanted to be more elevated than any other disciples. They were driven and motivated by the desire for position and power. They wanted their will to be done in their own time and in their own way. Jesus knew that their motives were not pure. So in verses 38, he said, "You do not know what you're asking." Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" The cup here is a symbol of suffering and affliction. And to drink means to take something deep inside. At its very core, baptism means to be identified with by being fully submerged. And so the idea here is that Jesus was about to be fully immersed in intense suffering. John and James were motivated by the crown and the throne, while Jesus was all about the cross and the thorns. If we are to follow and serve Jesus, we must evaluate our motives and realign them with those of Jesus and make him the center of all that we are. Secondly, after evaluating our motives, we must elevate others over ourselves. In case you are wondering how the other 10 felt when they saw James and John trying to grab the position of powers, look at verses 41. It says, "When the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. They weren't appalled by John and James' misunderstanding of the mission of Jesus. They were upset that the two got to Jesus before them. The spiritual attitude of the 10 was not any better than that of the two. They were all thinking about how they can elevate themselves. And that's the danger in the local church when everyone starts thinking about themselves. The result is the community will break down and unity will quickly be replaced by division and backbiting. Seeing what was happening, Jesus in verse 42 called them to him. He dealt with them tenderly, brought them back to the community, and then gave them a lesson on how different things run in his kingdom. He urged his followers not to be like the rulers of the Gentiles who lord it over others and boss others around. In verses 43, he begins with a rebuke that reframes their understanding. "But it shall not be so among you," he said. The rest of verses 44 says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all." Jesus was actually saying that if you want to be a somebody in the kingdom of God, you must be a nobody. Servants and slaves serve and aim to do the will of their masters. Jesus here is calling us to elevate others over ourselves and consider them as our masters. And having the attitude of a servant, be ready to care, to serve, to love, and to value others. The implication of this is that everybody can be great because everybody can be a servant. Everyone has the ability to serve. Finally, we must emulate and embrace the example of Jesus. Jesus did not only shake up the disciples' self-centered motives and challenge them to evaluate themselves, he also offered himself as the perfect role model. Look at verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the real servant king who served others' needs and eventually gave his life as a payment for our sin that we may be set free. Jesus redefined greatness for us all, and he taught us that service is the path to greatness. He not only taught us this new path to greatness, he lived it and invited his followers to do the same by spending their lives serving others. Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 to 5 beautifully summarizes these three points above. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Do you want SBC to be a great church? Then we should take time to evaluate our motives and align them with those of Jesus. We should elevate one another in Christ's love, and we should emulate the example of servanthood given to us by our Savior. May the Lord give us the strength to apply this word in our hearts. Amen.